Now, if you look on, we're going to move on now, on the first sheet that says the overview of the law and outline. Because, you see, we just finished kind of a major topic, talking about the precious human life. And in essence, one of the goals of this course is to give you a big overall view. I want to kind of have you look briefly at the major topics in the outline as we move into the next section. Okay? So you can see the 4B2, how to take advantage of our precious human life. Okay, 4B1 was being persuaded to take advantage of it. And so we did that already. We persuaded ourselves that we have something, precious. So now we go on to the next thing, which is how to take advantage of it. Okay. Now within how to take advantage of it, there's three main subtitles, okay, which is training our minds in the stages in common with the initial level motivation, and then training our mind in stages in common with the intermediate level motivation, and training our minds in the stages in common with the higher level motivation. Okay. The reason it's called in common with, the initial and the middle, and actually in the higher level you don't have the in common with, I made a mistake, is because the whole gradual path is set up with the goal of becoming a Buddha, with the goal of generating this altruistic intention to become a Buddha for the benefit of others. And that is the highest level motivation. Now, the reason the previous two are, training our minds in the practices in common with the initial level motivation is that some people only have the initial level motivation. So we have to practice in common with them, but not just as they do. And then some people only go as far as to have the second level motivation, and we don't just practice, we practice in common with what they're doing, but not just as they're doing, we're going beyond. So from the very beginning, the whole gradual path is set up for us with the idea that we're going to go to the end of it. We're not going to get stuck somewhere in the middle. Okay. And these three levels of motivation, it's very important to understand them, because within them is contained all of the teachings of the Buddha. So if you understand these three levels of motivation, the different practices that are associated with them, then whenever you hear any teaching by any teacher of any tradition, you'll know where it fits into the gradual path and where it belongs. Okay? And this, does away with a lot of the confusion that we often have in practicing Dharma. So these three levels of motivation are a very progressive expanding of our minds. Okay? So usually when we come to teachings, I can't speak for you, I can only speak for myself. I was just, I wasn't really even looking for anything. I knew something wasn't quite right in my life, and I knew there was something more. I didn't know what it was. But I was basically just wanting to have a better life, and be happy. And so often we come to Buddhist things initially just, because maybe somebody died, or we have problems in our family, or we're unhappy, or we feel like there's something more, and we're just basically looking for something that is going to help us very quickly to solve whatever problems we're facing. And that's the motivation with which we usually come to teachers, although I can't speak for any of you. And that motivation's okay, it's a very real, earnest motivation that we have. As we come into Buddhist teachings, we gradually begin to expand that motivation. Okay. That initial motivation is basically concerned with our own personal happiness now. Isn't it? Most of us want to be happy now. Fair enough. Yeah? We're not thinking, I want to be happy 3 eons from now. And, it's nice if other people are happy, but we basically come because we want to be happy. Yeah? So that's our basic motivation. And we want it immediate. Now, as we start practicing the teachings, we begin to expand that motivation. The first way we start to expand it is time-wise. We begin to look ahead a little bit more in the future. Okay? And instead of, like the child, you know, I want my sucker now, Mommy. I don't want it after dinner. I want it now. you know, instead of approaching life with that kind of attitude, we begin to look ahead in our life, and we begin to see that, you know, our life will have an end, that death is something that will definitely come. It's definitely, you know, in the script, and there's no way to rewrite it. Okay? So we start thinking, oh, well, if I'm going to die, and then what's going to happen after death? And we start thinking about rebirth and what, you know, our consciousness is going to, what's going to happen to us after we die. It's not like some big empty hole, you know, but there's something that continues. Well, what's going to happen to us at that point? And so we, by looking ahead and seeing that this is definitely something that will happen, there's no way to get around it, we become concerned with, you know, well, how can I die in a peaceful way? And how can I make that transition to a new life in a peaceful way? And how can I have another life that, you know, will enable me to keep on practicing? How will I have a good life instead of being born as a duck in Green Lake? No offense to the ducks, but you know. If you had your choice, where would you rather be right now? Okay? So we start to expand our motivation. And so each of these three levels of motivation, it involves looking at something we don't want, you know, something that's undesirable, seeking something that's a resolution to that, and thirdly, finding a method to bring that about. So in this first level of motivation, we are turning away from having a restless, tormented death and a confused, painful rebirth. Okay? And what we're seeking is to die peacefully and to have a happy transition and to have another rebirth which is happy and in which we can continue to practice. And the method for doing that is by keeping ethics, specifically, you know, observing karma, abandoning destructive actions on one hand, and on the other hand, putting our energy into acting constructively because our actions, you know, create the cause for what we're going to become. Okay, so we have something we're turning away from, something we're seeking, and a method to attain it. Okay, so that's the first way of expanding our mind. Instead of my happiness now, it's my happiness, but at death time and in the future life. Okay, then after a while, we begin to think, well, that's great to get a good future life. I really want that, you know, and it's better than being a duck, it's better than being a worm. But if I'm just going to kind of wind up with another good life, but I'm still going to have problems in it, and I'm still going to get old and sick and die, and I'm still going to be confused, and I'm still going to get angry, and I'm still going to have attachment and jealousy, and I'm still not going to get everything I want and, you know, have all these difficulties, then what's the end point, you know? I mean, kind of, there's got to be something more than just having a rerun of what we have now. And so, at this point, what we're turning away from is all the pleasures of having a life like we have now, or even having a life better than we have now, but still a life that's caught in this whole system of disturbing attitudes and karma, in which, you know, our minds are just completely propelled by whatever thoughts come in our mind, you know, uncontrollably. Okay, so we're turning away from that, from all of that confusion, all of that garbage situation of being born and getting old and getting sick and dying and not getting what we want, getting what we don't want, and that whole thing. We're turning away from that. What we're generating is a determination to be free from all of that, and we're aspiring for liberation. Now, we say, I want to be free from that thing. I mean, it's nice to have a good rebirth, but I want to get off this Ferris wheel. You know, there's got to be something better. So we're aspiring for liberation or nirvana, which is the cessation of being under the control of our ignorance and disturbing attitudes and karma and all of their consequent difficulties. Okay? So we're turning away from that whole cycle of rebirth. We're turning towards liberation and nirvana, where we can have a lasting kind of happiness. And the method to attain that is called the three higher trainings. So you have the higher training in ethics, which we already started to practice, the higher training in concentration, so we can really control our mind and subdue the gross defilements, and the higher training in wisdom, so that we can understand reality and thus do away with the ignorance that plagues us. So that's the method that we're going to use with this second level motivation. So you can see we're still expanding ourselves, okay? Now, with the third level, the highest level motivation, we're expanding ourselves yet again. Okay, instead of my happiness now, instead of my happiness at death and in next life, and instead of my happiness in liberation, we become very, very aware that we live in a world with billions and billions of other living beings, and that we're incredibly dependent on them, and that they've been unbelievably kind to us. They want happiness as much as we do, and to avoid problems as much as we do. And so to just do our spiritual path with the attitude of our own rebirth and the attitude of our own liberation, it's really rather self-centered. Yeah, we come to really confront that part of ourselves that is still looking out for, you know, my happiness, but now it's my spiritual happiness. And so we really look and say, hey, you know, I'm capable of really doing more than this. I'm capable of being of great benefit to all other beings. And considering their kindness towards me, I should exert myself this way. Okay? And so at this point, what we're turning away from is this self-complacent, peaceful state of our own liberation. We're saying it's nice, but actually it's limited. Just being liberated from myself alone, we're turning away from that, and what we're doing is we're developing a very strong altruistic intention to become a Buddha so that we'll be best capable of really leading others to a lasting happiness. Okay? And then the method we practice to do that is called the six far-reaching attitudes. Sometimes it's translated as six perfections, or in Sanskrit, the six paramitas. So we have these six far-reaching attitudes. You know, in the refuge prayer, when we say, by the positive potential, I'm practicing generosity, and the other far-reaching attitudes, here, those are the six, okay? We have generosity, ethics, here comes ethics again, can't get away from it. Patience, yeah, joyous effort, meditative stabilization or concentration, and then the sixth one is wisdom. And then after we've done that, those six far-reaching attitudes, then the method we use is the tantric path.